I wished I'd been born rich instead of so good looking. We wasn't in God's time or God's will. But anyway, you say he needs to get his glasses changed. I agree. But I thank God that he loves me. You know, I may not have been born rich as far as the world sees, but when I was born again, I become the child of the King. Thank God my Father owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He owns even 1,000 hills that the cattle's on. Thank God that all the blessings that we have in store and the things that's at our disposal as Christians that God has given us. This morning, if you will, turn to Matthew chapter 26. We're going to be looking at the time right before Christ's crucifixion. We're going to see it was 2 days before the feast as he went out and he spent time with his disciples there as he told them it was going to be meet for them to go meet and where to go find the upper room and to make preparation for the Passover. And remember, Passover came from when the children were there in Egypt and whenever God told them to slay the animal and to put the blood upon the doorpost and the lintel of the house and wherever he saw the blood that the death angel would pass over. And he would know that that family was taken care of by that blood. By the shedding of blood was sins paid for. By the shedding of blood was redemption made. But I'm thankful that there was a sacrifice made that was sufficient for all time. That when Jesus went to the cross of Calvary and shed his blood, that the law was fulfilled. That all sin was paid for in the future tense. Because all my sin was still future. All your sin was still future when Jesus died for him on the cross of Calvary. And thank God not only the sins of my past, but the sins of my present and my future are still covered under the blood of Jesus Christ. And I'm thankful that he was able to deliver mankind. He's been able to deliver us from these things. She was talking about the children there in the four-wheeler accident. Let me tell you, you don't have to be a child to be in a four-wheeler accident. And they're painful, but I'm glad they had their helmet on. I had my helmet on, but that was the only part that didn't hit the ground. So anyway, you can try to be protected, and you think you can have all your ducks in a row, but if you don't have God, you're not prepared. You're not on the right place, right in the right place, and your life is not right with God. You're walking away from Him. You're walking in the darkness. And thank God, when we're going through those dark valleys, as Linda was talking about, when we have Jesus, they're not near as dark. Thank God he shows a way out. When there's a way of escape that's given to us by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we can see and come out victorious on the other side of that dark valley. And I'm glad when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I don't have to fear any evil because God is with me, walks with me, talks with me, lives with me inside my heart. And I don't have to come meet him at God's house. Thank God he's already inside. He's already living here and we come together and our spirits become stronger, united. We'll try to get into the Word this morning here as we look at Matthew chapter 26. I want you to turn to verse 59. Matthew 26 and 59, it says, "Now the chief priest and the elders and all the council sought fault witness against Jesus to put him to death." Now, my friends, I want to tell you something that just gripes me is whenever they tell me that I can't utter the name of Jesus. I still believe we got a thing called free speech, and they all claim that when they want to talk about their atheistic agendas and they want to talk about their gay marriage and all this stuff being all right. We've got the First Amendment. I got the right to say whatever I want to. Well, my friend, that covers my Savior as well. I got the right to say Jesus, and it don't matter if it higher lips the devil, I'm going to call his name. Because Jesus is the one that died for my sins. Jesus is the one that gave me the freedom that I can say His name. Jesus is the one, and they sought counsel, false counsel against Him to be able to put Him to death. Let me tell you, they're still searching after false counsel against God's people to try to put us in our place, they want to say. But let me tell you, our place is on top because that's where the cream goes to. And we're the child of the King. We're the child of God because of the blood of Jesus. Listen, don't you take a back seat to this garbage of the world, you rise up on top because you're the cream. God set us above and set us different than everybody else. We're to be a peculiar people. We're not to be down here in the bottom end of the dregs and the low lives of the world. We're to rise to the top. We're to be boisterous in this world, telling people about the saving power of Jesus Christ, living a life that people can see it in our hearts, minds, body, and soul, that we're sold out to God and not to anything else. But they sought false counsel to put him to death. They're still trying to kill him today. Thank God they still ain't got a weapon that's been formed that can put him away. Thank God whenever he went to the cross of Calvary, he had to say on that cross, "Into thy hands I commend my spirit," and lay down his life, or he'd still been hanging there today. He's not on that cross anymore. Thank God he went to that borrowed tomb. Thank God he resurrected and went to the Father's house. He went to the mercy seat and put his blood upon it. Thank God. He's not dead anymore. He's alive like we've never known life. And they're seeking false counsel, trying to put him to death again. But thank God he's victorious. But they found none. Thank God. He was a perfect man. When Satan came and tempted him in the wilderness, he didn't succumb to the temptations of Satan. Now let me tell you, I can't say that always in this world, in this flesh. We've all succumbed to the temptations of Satan against us at some point in time. But I thank God that Jesus, he just brought the word against Satan. He brought the word against Satan, but they found none, it says in verse 60. Yea, though many false witnesses came, yet found they none. At the last came two false witnesses. It said here that many false witnesses. Let me tell you, there's false witness out in the world today. There's a spirit of Antichrist that's been here before Christ was here, been here while he was here, and still here upon the earth today. That people say that Christ was just a man, that he didn't have power over anything. Let me tell you, Jesus Christ came to do the will of the Father. He never claimed to do anything on his own except the will of the Father that sent him, and the things that he done was the things he saw the Father do. And let me tell you, he's still doing them today. But they brought many false witnesses, but they found none. And at last came two false witnesses. And said, "This fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days." You see, we don't understand all the things of Christ. We can try, but our mind is nowhere near possible to understand the thoughts of Christ. Because I can't understand why he would love me. And you say, well, that, you know, you ought to be able to understand that. You love yourself, don't you, sometimes? Till I argue with myself. You ever argue with yourself? I've got a little workshop, and I've got to go outside every once in a while to the building to change my mind and have an argument with myself when I run into myself in the building. But that's what happens most of the time. When we're not in fellowship with God, it's because we've got in the way ourselves. We've got in the way. We've got in the way of Christ working in our life. We've got in the way of God working because we have become that false witness. We're not listening to His voice. Sometimes we're so busy and so hurried that we can't hear what's going on. We don't listen to Him speaking to us because we got so many things happening around us that we can't concentrate on the voice of God. We got our mind on this, we got our mind on that, and everything else. But they come and they said this. He said He could destroy the temple of God and build it in 3 days. They didn't realize He's talking about His death and His resurrection. The temple of God, the Spirit of God, the indwelling Spirit of God that was going to come, the Comforter, Jesus Christ, the Son that was coming to die. They couldn't understand that. They didn't understand the full message of it. Their eyes had not been opened yet to the full concept of what Jesus was talking about. But they're finding false witness. Now, if you want to find false witness against somebody, you don't go ask their best friend to testify against them, do you? No, you find somebody that's got an ought against them. And you talk them up a little bit and you feed them and you pat them on the back about how bad that they've been treated by this person. What had Jesus ever done wrong to them? He told them that He was the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh to the Father but by me. He healed people that He saw everywhere. Every death that He ever attended, every funeral, He brought life and busted up the funeral. What bad had He ever done to anybody except say that I have come to fulfill the law? Their way of living was in jeopardy. Their legalist system of following the law and giving this sacrifice and that sacrifice had been put in jeopardy because the Messiah had come to fulfill that law. They couldn't grasp the concept of such a love that this man had. And not only for the people. Now, it's easy. It's easy to love people who love you back, isn't it? Sometimes it's hard to like them. But you love them. But can you think about Jesus loving people who disliked Him, didn't love Him, cursed His name? Can you imagine the love that He has of Christians that have treated Him the way that He's been treated in the United States? by turning our backs and not standing up and telling what's right and what's wrong in the sight of God, not what's right and wrong in the sight of man. Because we've accepted this lie, society said, oh, we've got to change. We can't be that hard. We can't be that harsh. We can't make statements like that. We'll offend somebody. And I heard somebody talking about being politically correct. That's garbage right out of hell, I'll just tell you. Tell people the truth. You won't have to worry about it. If it offends you, let me think, tell you something. It'll make you think. And if the Word of God offends you, line up with it. It'll be all right. It ain't going to cost you any extra. Sin's still sin no matter what color we try to paint it. God's still God no matter where we try to put Him. He's still in charge and still in control. And the high priest arose and said unto him, answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witnesses against thee? Jesus standing there all the time just keeping His peace, just being calm, cool, collected. He knew He had everything under control. They couldn't do anything that His Father didn't allow them to do. Or He allowed them to do because He had all the power of heaven and earth right at His disposal. And here they come. He said, don't you answer anything? Now, if we're standing there being accused, do we sit there with our mouth shut? Mm-mm, boy, we're going to come back with something. And we're going to try to find something on the person trying to accuse us. Because that's the way it works, revenge. Well, if you're trying to bring me down, I'm going to find something to bring you down. You smack me, I'm going to smack you harder. That's what our mentality is, whether it's physical or whether it's by the evidence that we try to gather or the false evidence that we try to proclaim against people. That's mankind. That's the way we work. That's where our heart is. It's on evil continually. That's not said by bread. That's said by the Word of God. Man's hearts are on evil continually. The high priest want to know, ain't you going to say anything? Ain't you going to answer for yourself? Ain't you going to say something about these false witnesses that keep coming up here, though we can't prove anything? Ain't you going to say anything? He didn't have to. He says, but Jesus held His peace. And the high priest answered and said unto him, I adjure thee by the living God that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God. Now he's coming right down to the nitty-gritty, things that he can't deny. What he's going to have to say and what he's going to have to give answer to, because he knew what his purpose was. He knew that the time was near. He knew that the time of his departing was right at hand, that he was going to have to leave his disciples. He was going to go to the cross of Calvary. He was going to go to the tomb and he was going to resurrect. He knew all that was coming. He'd done been to the Garden of Gethsemane. He went there and he took two of his disciples with him and went just a little bit further and says, y'all stay. My soul is troubled and heavy and I'm going to go yonder and pray and y'all stay here and watch with me. And he went and he prayed, Father, if it's any way possible, take this cup from me, but nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Return the first time for praying and there's them two disciples asleep. He said, what, can't you even watch with me for just a little while? For just a little while? He says, I've got to go back and pray again. He says, y'all just stay here. So he went apart from them, went a little farther, and he prayed again. Father, if there's any way possible that this cup may pass from me, please let it be so, but not my will, thine be done. Returned again. There they was asleep once again. I wonder how many times does God see us sleeping on the job, when we're supposed to be watching Him praying, when we're supposed to be prepared for the day of His coming and looking for that day and longing for it. How many of us is He seeing sleep and slumbering on God? Jesus went apart the third time and He prayed. In one of the Gospels it says that He prayed as His sweat became as great drops of blood and travail and agony. Not because of what He was going to have to do, but for mankind. Praying, knowing what His destiny was and that He had came to fulfill, and it was on the hand and it was right now fixing to take place. He knew that that one that had delivered Him into the hands of man, they were on the way, coming up to the garden, coming to Gethsemane. Judas and the high priest and the high council and their henchmen was coming to get Him. And He come back that third time and there they was sleeping. He said, just sleep on. For those that are here to get me are at hand. Then they awoke and they said, it's time for our departing. And as they started, here come Judas in the crowd coming in. 30 pieces of silver that he sold my Savior for. And he went and he told them, he says, look, the one I go and kiss, that's Jesus. You take him. They came to him with swords and staves to get him as a common thief. Jesus said, ain't no use of that. I've been with you all the time in the streets. I've been down there healing the people that you've brought to me. You've seen what I've done. I've never been a violent person. All I've been is love, and yet you come after me like a common thief. But Jesus went willing, surrendered to them, went with them, even though they buffeted him, even though they smacked him around, and the different things spat upon him and different things. He still went and surrendered to them. At any time could have called 12 legions of angels down that was put over his charge. All he would have said is, I'm finished, I ain't doing this. And it had been over, and we'd had no hope. That's what our Sunday school lesson was on, was hope. Hope. And I'm thankful through Jesus Christ, he gives me hope for every day. Hope for this present day and hope for the future. I can't change what happened yesterday, but I can make today and tomorrow different. Through Jesus. Through Jesus, that hope. That blessed assurance of knowing. Hey, if I draw my last breath, heaven's my home. Thank God, the anticipation of that great arrival in heaven. That hope that keeps us going, keeps us encouraged, keeps us telling people that's lost about Jesus, that kind of hope. Listen, it's not always going to be like this. It's going to be better, that anticipation of that great day. That hope that God has given us. Jesus saith unto him, thou hast said, nevertheless I say unto you, hereafter shall ye see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. What encouragement to know that Jesus Christ our Savior is sitting at the right hand of the Father, at the power side of God. Thank God he is ready for the judgment of the ungodly. He's ready for the judgment of this world that has rejected him. But thank God he's also ready to receive in his bride. Into heaven. He's ready to call us home to be with him. Then the high priest rent his clothes, saying, he hath spoken blasphemy. What further need have we of witness? Behold, now we have heard his blasphemy. They decided, we've got him now. And all he spoke was the truth. But yet they couldn't accept the truth. What think ye? They answered and said, he is guilty of death. Oh, he's played into our hands. No. God's plan was being fulfilled. They had done just exactly as God had already preordained. Those that delivered Jesus up, God already knew. Those that were going to nail him to the cross of Calvary that day and was going to raise him up over the earth and he'd hang between heaven and earth, God already knew which soldiers that was going to be. The soldier that pierced his side with the sword, where both water and blood flowed from his side and got upon that soldier, God knew. God knew. God knew that thief that was going to be hanging there that said, have mercy on me and remember me when you come into your kingdom this day. God knew. God knew. God knew that Barabbas was going to be set free. God knew the first that was going to be forgiven, that was going to receive him. God knew. But they said, we've heard his blasphemy. What say you then? He is guilty of death. Then did they spit on his face and buffeted him, and others smote him with the palms of their hands, saying, prophesy unto us, thou Christ, who is he that smote thee? Who is he that smote thee? And he had to say it was Brad Wooten. It was Brad Wooten. You can insert your name there because you were just as guilty as I. You were just as guilty as the one that smote him upon the cheek because he was going for all of our sins. We were all guilty. We were all in the place of those that delivered him up because it was because of him going to the cross of Calvary that we could be saved. The guilt that he bore was not his but mine. I'm the one that should have died. I'm the one that should have been eternally separated from him because of sin. But Jesus saw otherwise. But he denied before them, saying, I know not what thou sayest. Amen. back up. Who smote thee? Now in verse 69. Now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, Thou also was with Christ of Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. Now we're going to see three different levels of denial from Peter. Each one getting a little harsher and a little deeper each time. And so is the aspect of man and the attitude of man. We have a passing kind of let it roll off our back denial of Christ. Well, he said that we shouldn't forsake the assembling of ourselves together, but the fish are really biting down at the lake. You know, I don't think he'll miss me one Sunday if I go fishing. He was a fisherman. He ate fish after all. I mean, we'll justify it out, you know, that, well, you know, when he was sitting on the bank and the fishermen were out there and they came back in, he was sitting there eating fish. He wouldn't hold it against me for going fishing. We'll try to justify it any way we can. Well, his disciples went and picked corn on Sunday. It's okay. But if we sit around all day Saturday and we watch the basketball games, the football games, the race, and do the work we need to do and done it on Sunday, I've seen people out mowing their yards that could have done it on Saturday, but they was too busy having a good time and mowed it on Sunday. I don't know if y'all ever done it, but I pray for people's lawnmowers blow up. Just for that day, it could be fixed on Monday. I didn't care. But just for Sunday, they'd have to quit and quit running. They just couldn't figure out what it was, and they'd have to wait. God deserves his day. And you say, preacher, you're crazy. That's all right. I think I am too. But he said, I know not what thou sayest. He just casually, I don't know what you're talking about. Jesus? You got me mistaken with somebody else. You know, everybody's got a twin. Lord help mine. That's all I can say. I wish you'd take some of the blame for some stuff I get blamed for. But he just kind of casually. Oh, no. I don't know what you're talking about. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him and said unto them that were there, this fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. Just a little bit deeper here. He getting there. You know, first his little casual thing, I don't know what you're talking about. Second time, oh no, that's not me. I promise you, that wasn't me. That's not me. I don't know the man you're talking about. Sad, that's still in church today. I don't know what you're talking about, preacher. I don't know what you're talking about. My friend, wake up and listen to God when he speaks. We're denying him all the time. We're denying him room in our hearts. And then in verse 73, it says, And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, Surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech betrayeth bewareth thee. He's saying, it's telling on you. Surely you're one of them. You're the same people that's been with him. You are one of them. And we see then that in verse 74, he said, Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man, and immediately the cock crew. Remember, Jesus had already told him before the night was through, and he said, Jesus, I'll go with you to the end that I might even die with you. I'm there. Don't you worry about it. He also had drawn out his sword and cut off one of their ears of the men that came after him, and God put it back. Jesus put it back on the man's head and performed a surgery there. It left no scar. Restored to him. But he said, I'll go with you all the way. You know, I've had people tell me that. Brother Brad, you just stand on the word and you just stand there and you stand firm on it and I won't be behind you, I'll be beside you. And when the going got rough, I looked around and I seen them hightailing it over the hilltop. That's the same way it was with Jesus' men that walked with him. When they took hold of Jesus and they started to lead him out, it said that the disciples fled. It was prophesied that they would leave him. But it said that Peter followed him afar off. And I'm afraid that's where we're at today. As we follow Jesus, we're following him from afar off. We don't want to get too close because we don't want to be recognized. When it comes down time to making a stand for Jesus, we're like, I don't know what you're talking about. Yeah, I've attended church. Oh, no. No, no. I've never said anything like that. No, no. I never claimed to be that. No, no, no. Listen, I would be much more worried about what Jesus thought of me than what people thought of me. If you're doing the work of God, they're going to think all kinds of things about you, that you're crazy for listening to this man Jesus, reading this book and believing that it's true for today. Oh, society's got to change. That book's got to change. It ain't the same world that it used to be. You know why? Because nobody's in the book anymore. That's why the world's changed. It's time for us to get back to God. Things could sure be a lot different. Are they going to get back to God? Somewhat. Somewhat, there'll be that few that's still going to stand strong, going to get in the Bible, believe the Bible for every word it says, trust God and follow Him, and there's always going to be that remnant. But as an overall revival, is there going to be a great revival? Don't look for one of great people flocking to God. Talks about them getting harder and harder of hearing, heaping teachers to themselves, and their ears being waxed cold, and that they're not hearing because they want to hear what they want to hear. Let's hear the things that's pleasant. Don't tell me anything I'm done wrong. Don't tell me that there's sin. I don't want to hear that. I've got past the cross and Jesus' death on the cross. I'll never get past the cross and His death at Calvary. Without that death on that cross of Calvary and His blood being shed, I'm not saved. I can't get over it. Don't want to. Don't plan on it. But we see here that Peter, he began to curse and swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered the words of Jesus, which said to him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. I think it's time for sweeping in America. I think it's time for good Christian people. I ain't going to say old-fashioned. Let me tell you, it shouldn't be old-fashioned. It should be today's fashion. It should still be going on just following the Word of God. We need to get our stiff necks broke up a little bit and a little loose that we can raise a hand, say thank you, God, for loving me and for dying for me and giving me salvation and be able to have a smile on our face when we come to the house of God instead of look like somebody licked the red off our candy. Amen. It's time for us to get back to praising Him for what He's done. We've got victory. We got something to smile about. I'm not going to die anymore. I'm immortal. I'm going to live forever in glory because of Jesus. Because of Jesus. I don't want to be like Peter. But let me tell you, from this point forward, Peter became a great influencer of people for Jesus. His life changed. When he went through his time of shame for what he'd done and he remembered the words of God, he may have remembered his own words, God, Jesus, I'll be with you always. Boy, I've got you back, Jesus. They ain't nobody going to come get you because they're going to have to fight me. I'm going to be there for you, Jesus. And as soon as the fighting got tough, Peter got missing in action. I ain't going to ask you to raise your hands, but you know, we've all probably been missing in action at some point in time when it was important that we should have been there. Some point of our life, it's been important that we should have been there for God, to have been that one standing in the gap. Maybe to lift a brother or sister that was down, to give them encouragement, to give them hope. Maybe we've been missing in action when we should have been proclaiming that we are God's people. And I am saved through the blood of Jesus. Never been the same since. Oh, I've made my mistakes. Let me tell you. Anybody says they've lived after they've been saved and never made a mistake, they've lied and they need to get an altar. We've all come short and sinned and come short of the glory of God. All mankind. Even the preachers that stand in the pulpit. And if they say they've not, they've lied too, they need to get an altar. Because we're none above sin. None above reproach. None above needing to repent and asking God to help us. But when we think about Jesus going to the cross of Calvary, not only was man there that was taking counsel against him, the religious leaders who should have knew better saw it at the occasion to kill him. Finally found the reason enough that they decided to put him to death. And then those that was his closest friends turned their backs and had walked away. Even denying, taking oaths and swearing and cursing that they knew him not. Boy, friends like that, you don't need no enemies, do you? But I'm thankful that Jesus is my friend, my confidant, my Savior, my all in all, my everything. And in Him there's nothing lacking. And I thank God that I can't hold on to Him, but I'm glad He can hold on to me. My strength's not great enough that I can hold myself to keep myself from slipping, but I'm glad Jesus can. And as long as we trust Him and entrust Him with our lives, He'll help us to make that stand. Are we in God's way and won't let His will be done? Are we like Peter? Are we standing afar off following to see what's going on? It's kind of like those people you see with them telescopic cameras they got. Want to get a picture of what's going on and write their story, but they're hid out in the bushes taking pictures from a distance. Is that how we're serving God today? We hiding in the bushes of the world, standing back, not standing up for God, but kind of way back in the back. And then when we're called upon, we deny Him. I don't want to deny Him before man. I don't want to go to heaven one day and hear Him say, "You know, I gave you an opportunity to stand for me, and all you done was hid in the crowd." Amen. I don't want to ever hear that. I want Him here to say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter in. Enter in." And I pray that those crowns are there that talks about in God's Word that we should strive for as Christians. I know I got a crown of life waiting. But I hope those other crowns it talks about in God's Word are waiting there as well so I can lay them back at His feet. Because I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy of any recognition in heaven except I'm a child of the King. And I'll be in that crystal sea that it talks about in Revelation that John done saw. And saw you and I there that are saved and ready to go. The same ones that Jesus died for here as He was facing the cross. As He'll go from Caiaphas' palace down to Pilate's hall and go through all the questioning, all the torment, all the gnashing that people were upon Him, calling out to save Himself and the different things, prophesy, if you're the Son of God, let's hear from you now. All these things, yet He went to the cross and took that sin that I should be bearing and bore it on Himself that day. This morning, if you're here and you're lost, Jesus loves you. He died for you. He was thinking of you when He was standing there. And He made His answer for all the false accusations they had brought against Him. They accused Him of blasphemy just for you, just for me, that they might find the occasion to put Him to death. As His people cried, "Crucify! Give us the murderer, give us the common thief, and take Jesus and put Him on the cross. He's not our King. We don't want Him. Take His life. See if we care. Let His blood be upon us." They didn't know what they was asking. That's exactly what He came to do, was that His blood might be upon them. His blood will be upon you today if you'll just receive Him. Believe with your heart and confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ has finished work on the cross of Calvary, His death, burial, and resurrection. Don't just have a head knowledge, but have a heart relationship with Jesus. He loves you this morning. He died for you to set you free. As we get a song of invitation, everyone stand to your feet, all heads bowed, all eyes closed.